Well, let's open to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I need to do a better job about telling you what I'm going to tell you, showing you, and then telling you what I told you. So I want to tell you plainly what we're going to look at today. We're going to see briefly, we have a need of the armor of God, all of it. It's His armor. It ain't yours. It's given to you. It's put on you, and every piece of that armor is Christ. He's every piece of it. We have to be taught that. We don't learn that. We have to be taught that. And at the end of it, how do we put this armor on? How do we do that? Nonsense is prevalent throughout man's simple brain. I do this. I pick up. What the Lord shows to Joshua. It ain't your bow. It ain't your sword. He used hornets. Hornet ain't that big. And buddy, it gets a hold of you. Hurts, don't it? Enough to drive you out of the land. The Lord said, I'll send hornets. Your sword won't be used. But we pick up His sword. We adorn His armor. Ephesians 6, verse 11. We need to put this armor on because we're frail. We're tender. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This armor is not a physical armor. I've wore a whole lot of physical armor in my day. I come to know it very well. Wore it, slept in it quite a bit. All day, every day. Becomes part of you. I wore a lot of physical armor, but this is not speaking of physical armor. It's not talking about something we do in the flesh. This is spiritual armor, an internal armor to withstand the wiles and the trickery, the subtlety of the devil. This isn't for warring in this world. To be properly equipped defensively and offensively to go downtown and go to battle for Jesus, as everybody says. Onward, Christian soldiers. Sit and go to fight abortion clinics. Go against the government. We got to go fight Hamas right now. What are they doing over there? You seen the news? This armor's for a spiritual battle. And let me tell you something. I tell you from experience. Experientially. Physically, everybody wants to go get in a gunfight until you're in a gunfight. Real quick, you change your mind. Spiritually, foolishly, everybody wants to get in a gunfight. We want to be in a war. I want to fix some stuff. I want to correct some stuff. I want to go against the enemy. You do till he gets a hold of you. Till you're in it. Change your mind. Lord will change your mind real quick. You'll get stung by some hornets. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I don't want to dive into the dark and evil things that goes on in this world and man's walk in this world. But I'll tell you this, and you listen to me. This ain't some big evil thing out there. This war is right here. And if we don't see it individually in ourselves, you're going to get killed in this war. To you. I point everyone at. To me. This is where this is taking place. This is in us. This is the battle that's going to take place in our own bodies, and nobody has to be present. We can be alone by ourselves on a deserted island. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Who used to rule us before the Lord saved us? What were we in bondage to before the Lord saved us? What is the spiritual wickedness in high places? Boy, we think other side of the world, don't we? Rome, Salt Lake City, where the heads of these corporations are, is what you're talking about. That ain't it. You know what the highest place of wickedness in my body is? All the way up here at the top, inside my brain. My own thoughts, my deceitful mind. We go looking outward, don't we? Who's to blame? What did they do wrong? We got three fingers pointing back at us. All the way up here in the top. That's where the wickedness is. Verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in that evil day. And having done all, to stand. The severe trials, the battles inside of us are coming to the child of God. Hard times are a-coming if they ain't already been here. And if they have already been here, you're going to have some more coming. War don't stop because the sun goes down. It's 24/7 till the war's over. We are instructed to take on the whole armor of my armor. No, that's not what it says. Armor of God. This is His armor. All of it. That we can withstand in that evil day, having done everything we can to stand and to not fall. What is this armor of God? What's the totality of our defense against anything? Christ is. Christ is. Turn over to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Christ is our up-close armor. Our personal body armor. And He's our surrounding defenses. He's our defenses all around us. Psalm 18, verse 2. Psalm 18, 2. The Lord is my rock. That's what I'm standing on. And my fortress. He's the walls all around me. And my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I'm going to call on this armor, on this fortress, my Lord. He's my rock that I stand. He's the fortress that I dwell in. And He's the one that delivered me. Set me on the rock and put me in the fortress. Put me in Christ. And I'm going to call upon Him. Why? He's worthy to be praised. If you're standing on that rock and you're inside them walls protected, you were delivered there, well, you'll praise Him. He's worthy to be praised. Four more times in the Psalms that word fortress is used. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. He's my refuge and my fortress. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. He subdueth all my enemies. This armor is Christ. And back in our text there in Ephesians 6, verse 14, we're going to look at this armor. Ephesians 6, 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. What's the girding of the loins? We don't see these things in this part of the world, but in a big portion of the world, over in the Middle East and stuff, they still do this. It's we always called them a man dress, but I don't want to degrade that. It's a robe of sorts, a long sleeve in the winter, short sleeve in the summer, maybe no sleeves, but it's a garment that goes over the top of a man. He slides it on from his head, and it comes down to his ankles. It flows like a dress does, kind of, a garment, robe. And whenever he girds his loins, he takes that garment and he reaches down and gathers it all up, pulls it up, and he wraps it around himself and he ties it. That's where we get the word girdle. You gird your loins. You ever seen those back braces they wear at the stores? Or if you got to pick something heavy up, you got to put that tight thing around you. That's like a girdle. It gives some support, don't it? It's the one that's closest to you. That's girding the loins. It's the base layer that gives support. A base layer is important whenever you're dealing with armor. What's closest to the skin is important. That's what's going to regulate your temperature, keep you from chafing and having all kinds of problems. Girding your loins with truth. And it's going to give you that support to carry weight, to carry the armor. Gets us ready to work. That's when they gird up their loins before they got to go do some hard work, some labor. Gets ready to run. Run to the work or run away from the enemy. Got to gird your loins up to play, to enjoy, to rejoice. Got to gird up your loins. Be ready to do that. To support and carry a heavy load. We gird them up in truth. In truth. Gird your loins in truth. Turn to John 14. We see this often, but it's good for our eyes to look at it. What is it that we need spiritually next to our skin that supports us, that regulates us. It's Christ the truth. We need to wrap ourselves up, not in falsehoods and in lies and divers doctrines and everything else. Well, let's go look at that. No, don't go look at that. Wrap yourself up in Christ. He's the truth that we gird about ourselves and supports us and regulates us. John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ is not a way, He's the way. He's not a truth, He's the truth. He's not a life, He's the only source of life. He is our life. When we stop seeing truths, plural, when we stop seeing doctrinal applications, I see these five doctrines, these 5 points, and I can see how that can apply logically to this text, and we can draw some things out of it. When we stop seeing the meaning of words, you know what that word meant? Do you know what that king's name meant? When we stop seeing these things, and we start seeing a person. Not just facts like, oh, the brazen serpent, that's a picture of Christ. It didn't have no venom in it. Christ didn't have no sin in him. When we see the person, not facts, that he is the truth, these scriptures open up to us. Go to Hebrew. Don't turn her now. When your own time, any of these things we see, any of the fruits of the Spirit, you can replace that with Christ. Go read Hebrews 11 and take faith out of there. Everybody's so proud of their faith, how strong they are. And you put Christ in it and it reads perfect. By Christ, Abraham. By Christ, Sarah. What's the substance? Christ is the substance. That's the meat. That's what we need. It. What's the truth we gird ourselves with? Gird yourself with Christ. Wrap up in Him. Right next to your skin. It'll do you good. Especially for what else is about to be put on you. He said in John 8. We'll turn over just a little bit there. Back in John 8. John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How often we hear that quote? All truth sets you free, won't it? Replace truth with Christ. Who's the truth? Christ is the truth, isn't He? So I'm the way, the truth, the life. If you continue my word, you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the Christ, and the Christ shall make you free. We need to be girded in that. We need Christ right up to our skin. We need Him closer than a brother, don't we? Our base layer, our foundation of our armor. It's got to start with Him. Now back in our text. We got that base layer on. What comes next? The breastplate of righteousness. It says in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That breastplate of righteousness, that's our body armor. That's an armor, they call it the IBA, individual body armor. You've seen those things, those guys on the news, those soldiers. That thing comes over their shoulders, and wraps on their chest and in their back. Or them old movies, made out of metal. And it had extra muscles because it fit right to them, didn't it? You see the muscles on the outside, that's how they tailored them. Made just for them. Covers front and back. Covers front and back. And these old, there in Roman times, it was laced onto a soldier. Someone had to help them. Someone had to hold it up. Let them wiggle in there and they'd get it to them. And they would lace them into it. That way it wouldn't slide off in battle. It was secure. Attached to them. It was tailor-made individually. Individually for that person. Spiritually, what is the complete thing that covers our heart, that covers our lungs, our life, our vital organs to our core? It's the righteousness of Christ. He's the end of the law for righteousness, is what Paul told us, wasn't it? All the righteousness we need. What's all the protection I need of righteousness? It's fulfilled in Him to everyone that believeth in Him. He's our righteousness. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who have our loins girded with the truth, we have someone to put this breastplate on us. And we are robed in the righteousness of the spotless Lamb of God, and it's ours forever. Tailor-made to us. Laced on to us. Tied on tight. Jeremiah told us, he said, in the days Judah shall be saved, that Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called their Savior, the Lord our righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. And then if we look over just 10 short chapters in Jeremiah, it says, in the day Judah shall be saved and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called. We just looked at the husband and wife, didn't we? What's the Lord our righteousness, our husband, our kinsman redeemer? He's the righteousness. What will his bride be called? She shall be called the Lord our righteousness. We're given his name, clothed in his robe of righteousness. What a precious thing. Do we glory in him then? Being put in that fortress? We praise him, don't we? We are given his righteousness forever. What's our proof? We're made one with Christ our bridegroom. We're given his name. We are girded in the truth of Christ. In his righteousness, we're protected. It's near and dear to us. And we wear his breastplate. That's what we're robed in. And oh, what comfort and security that breastplate gives us. That's not armor we made in our backyard, is it? Remember, the bullets start flying. When the arrows come flying, you want to trust your equipment. you don't want something that's been recalled, do you? I can make my own. I'm handy. You don't want it in that day. You want the armor of God. His righteousness put on you. If it were an armor of righteousness that I made, Satan's arrows would find the only soft spot in it, wouldn't it? And it would penetrate all the way to the heart. It'd kill me. But it's God's own armor. It's his armor. How else did Paul word that? He said in Romans 8, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Yea, it's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Wearing his armor, any accusation or charge aimed against me just bounces off. It bounces off. It's his armor, and he put it on to us, and it's given to us. His righteousness. I used to sleep like a baby with that body armor on. You get used to it. Boy, it gets comfy. People say, how could you walk around in that all day? Well, I'd stick my hands in this way and nudge it up some, and it'd prop my head up. I could sleep sitting straight up and down. We walk with it every day. And you don't know how to use it right off the bat. It takes some time to get used to. It doesn't change. We conform to it. We are conformed to it. It takes some time to get used to. Our loins are girded in the truth of Christ. Our whole chest, our whole back, the sides are all protected forever in his blood and his righteousness. But now we're going to need some boots to walk around in, ain't we? Can't just stand still during this war. We've got to walk some. It says our feet are shod there in verse 15. Ephesians 6:15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. What's the gospel of peace? The gospel of the Prince of Peace. That is what our feet are shod in. That's our foundation. All the way down at the bottom of us. Everything else is built on. The foundation of the spiritual armor is the glad tidings of Christ. The good news of Christ. I told you that before, I think. But Scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good tidings, right? Those that preach the gospel. When I was about 5 years old, Don was staying with us, and I low crawled underneath that table, and I said, this guy preaches all the time. He must have nice looking feet. I wonder what's special about his feet. And I saw, and I said, well, his feet just look like anybody else's feet. His feet ain't that beautiful. About 10, 15 years later, I realized that was his foundation that he came on. He was shod in that gospel of peace. That's what protected him traveling over those hot places, those sharp rocks, those slippery places, bringing it all the way to a sinner. Took some time to learn that, don't it? Being shod, being laced up by another. Them old Roman sandals, boy, they got strings going every which way, don't they? It looks complicated. We have the ability to walk on some hard terrain. We have our foundations, our footers, bound in the peace of Christ, living and dying for us. He is my substitute. Can you walk around on that during the day? We can withstand some cold nights too, can't we? Keep our toes warm. Having His peace tied on to us, protecting our feet, we're more willing to go out on those long roads of life to publish this gospel of peace, to go tell another. He equips us to do so. American tax dollars paid for me to have some very high quality boots in my day when I was a soldier. And that was very important. It was needed. I needed good footwear. That's how you walk. But everybody always just say you need to break your boots in. If you got a real good set of boots, you don't break a set of boots in. The boots break you in. We don't break in our gospel and make it fit us, do we? No, it stays the same. That gospel doesn't change. Now we'll callous up here and soften up there. We'll bend and conform to that boot, to that shodding. We are conformed to Christ, and He breaks us into Him. And these shoes are durable. Good boots last a long time. This gospel lasts forever that we're shod in. Israel's a picture of that when they walked for 40 years through the desert. Never did need new shoes, did they? The gospel of Christ hadn't changed. It doesn't wear out. It doesn't get old. It doesn't weaken. It doesn't fray. That was what was laced tightly on the feet of the children of God. The good news of the person and the work of Christ. We got shoes on. We're going to need a shield. Look here in verse 16. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Who is this shield? We just read that Christ is our fortress, isn't He? And He's our buckler. Psalm 91 says, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. In His truth, His Christ, shall be thy shield and buckler. The Lord's truth, the Lord's Christ is our shield. That's what stood in front of you. And whenever the arrows come flying in them old days, you had to have it above you too. That's what we hold. And He's our buckler. I looked the word up, buckler. One of the translations for that throughout Psalm 7 times is an alligator skin. That's one of the protective ways to translate that. You got some good hard alligator skin right up next to you, clothed in it. The Lord's our girding. He's our breastplate. He's our shoes, our fortress, our shield, our buckler. Do we trust Him? Do we trust our equipment? Do we trust our armor that He's put on us? Or do we still trust just a little bit in us? Well, I know some things. Or is He our wisdom? I did some good stuff. Or is He our righteousness? We can't handle that old man. We can't take on the devil by ourselves. He can't do it. He must do it for us. We must trust Him. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Is He a shield for everybody? No. Just the ones that put on the armor of God. They've been given the faith to look to Him. They've been given the Christ to look to Christ. And trust Him. Like Zacchaeus, sell off everything I got. Well, you got a lot though. Huh? And we're shut up to Him. Zacchaeus had some power, didn't he? He had some standing in the community. Whether it was knowledge, he knew how to make money. Did he say, hey, get out of my way. I'm going over there. He kept his mouth shut and he climbed a tree. He had need, didn't he? The Lord will shut us up to Him. He'll shield us. Those that trust Him, we lay down everything. My pride, my righteousness, and all that, and come to Him. Come to a person. What are these fiery darts? You're a sinner. You ever said that to yourself? You ever had somebody tell you that? You don't deserve God's grace. You don't deserve His mercy. God doesn't want you. You can't know Him. That's a fiery dart of the wicked. You don't put your money where your heart is. You don't live like you ought to. You couldn't be a child of God the way you're sitting there right now. That's the my wicked fleshly nature born of Adam shoots those darts at myself all day long. Maybe I'm the only one. This couldn't be for me. But when I'm reminded of Christ my shield, Christ my girding, Christ my breastplate, Christ my shoes, we agree, don't we? You're a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. You're right. Christ died for sinners. God doesn't want you by myself. No, He doesn't. He wants Christ who's in me. I'm girded in Him. I have no righteousness, but I have the Lord's my righteousness. God doesn't accept me, but He accepts Christ. My faith, oh, it's so little. It's weak. Ain't even as big as a mustard seed. But it's the faith of Christ. And it's the faith that solely looks to Him, the object of my faith. It's in Him. You know what that is? That's called saving faith. Heard a man say one time, said, well, they're barely saved. What nonsense. What blasphemy. Blasphemy. That's a wicked dart. Somebody's barely saved. God Almighty saves sinners. He doesn't try to save sinners. He plumb saves them. You ain't kind of made righteous. You're made His righteousness. Nerve of people. I have no defenses. I'm not agile enough. I'm not strong enough to stand up against the great accuser of my brethren. Or even the accuser that's in me, myself. I can't stand up to myself, but my Lord's my shield. He's my buckler. He's my alligator skin. I need to be shielded all around, above, from the below, and I'm going to need a helmet too. Look here in verse 17. Look at the helmet. Ephesians 6, 17. And take the helmet of salvation. Those old Roman helmets, they covered the top of the head. We get that, don't we? It covered the neck. In case you had your head down, an arrow wouldn't get you. But it covered the ears and the cheeks too. It covered the sides. It covered the ears. You've been hitting the ear. It hurts. It hurts a whole lot. You ever been hit in your spiritual ear? You ever been hit with a word? Word's sharp, isn't it? Like a little tiny rudder on a ship. It can turn a whole bunch of stuff. We need a helmet. Who's our helmet? What goes on our head? The mind of Christ. A humble, lowly countenance. That's a good helmet to have. Look over in Philippians 2. Just a page there to the right. Philippians 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. I was looking at Philippians 1. Let this mind be in you. Let this helmet be on you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why not? He was God. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That would protect our weak minds if we were to be reminded of Christ and His countenance. Of Christ and His sacrifice. Him willingly going to the cross of Calvary for His people. To shed His blood. What precious blood. For a worthless sinner like me, to be made me, to take my place, to give me all this armor. It's all His. I got steam left in my cells to go taking my sword, my bow. That'll hush you up, won't it? Let me shut up to my iniquity. What a thought. That's much better wearing that helmet of Christ than against spiritual weakness, wickedness in high places Paul spoke of in verse 12, isn't it? Thinking how good I am, how high and mighty I am, how grown up I am. Oh, that the mind of Christ would protect our ears. Not let us entertain falsehoods that we conjure up or the other men conjure up. There's so much heresy out there. Not air, heresy in this world. It's all over. It's prevalent. Lord, don't let me willingly hear these things. Don't go seeking them out. That's snake handling, isn't it? I want to go listen to something, see if I can find what's wrong. Why don't you go grab one big old rattlesnake up on my property and hold it up and see if there's poison in it? No, leave it alone. Avoid it. You got a helmet on, cover your ears. That's what Paul told us. He said, mark them and avoid them. That there it is. You see a rattlesnake, you mark it and you avoid it. Hey, it hits telling me it's rattling. Go that way. You go the opposite way. Don't test out the helmet. Don't tempt the Lord. Just put it on. Just put it on. There's a sword there. I'll hurry. Sword of offense and defense. A sword can cut, but a sword can block too, can't it? There in Ephesians 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword is sharper than any two-edged sword, isn't it? The Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Who's the sword of God? Who's the Word of God? The Word was with God and the Word was God. It was Christ, isn't it? What could be an offensive measure I can have? That's the only one we're given in this whole thing. The Word of God. The Word of Christ. Paul told Timothy. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the Word. Preach Christ. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Somebody's want to hear something else. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. We can figure this out on our own. We don't need God. We don't need the poor, simple sinner that He sent to us. We'll find our own teachers. We'll huddle up together and do it. Heap themselves teachers having itching ears. They don't have a helmet on, do they? That wind's making their ears itch. Got to hear something. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They'll fall away. We are to pray for ourselves and our brethren, those that Christ died for, that would be not turned away. Lord, don't leave us to the evil. Don't leave us to ourselves. Now, verse 18, this final part of the armor is prayer. And prayer is not an offensive weapon. That's trying to twist God's arm, isn't it? Lord, I'm going to need you to do this. Lord, this ought to happen. We don't gang up together and have prayer circles. That's called a mutiny. Prayer is submission to God. Bowing to Him. When those fiery darts hit and say, I'm a sinner, go to the Lord. Lord, You come to save sinners. Who I'm chief. Every time Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners, I just want to hug him and say, I know you really think you are, Paul. But I am. All right, that's how down, like Zacchaeus, Lord's going to bring us. I'm the chief of sinners. Y'all live inside of my head, you quit eating lunch with me. But boy, the helmet that's on me. All the righteousness I've been given. Can't beat it. Best armor in the world. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for the saints, for all saints. How are we able to get this armor of God on us and use it? Well, first we're going to pray. I pray for you. Wouldn't that be something if God saved a sinner? I'll close my eyes. What if He saved you? What if He saved me? That's something worth praying for, isn't it? Perseverance and supplication. Lord, those that You have saved, keep them forever. Shod them, give them a breastplate, give them girding, give them a helmet, give them a shield, give them a sword. Provide everything for them. Feed them. How are we able to get this armor of God on us and use it? God, the Holy Spirit must equip us. He must put it on us. He says, this is a helmet. I'm going to put it on you. Breastplate. Here's a breastplate. I'm going to wrap you in it and I'm going to lace you up in it. Those things that we wear nowadays, I can take an IBA apart and you ain't going to get it put back together. You can't do it yourself. Someone has to teach you how to put that thing back together. It's complicated, even with instructions. God, the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, tells us about that breastplate that's been laced onto us. He equips us through the preaching. What about them preachers? They're good to go. They're something special, ain't they? No, they ain't. Just a different piece of clay that's been pinched off. The Lord uses. Pray for them too. Pray for me. I have a message for you. Look at verse 19. Paul says, pray and pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. It takes an act of God for a man to stand up and boldly proclaim Christ. Boldly proclaim that all flesh is grass. Boldly proclaim that you ain't got nothing to do with your righteousness. Christ is all your righteousness. And He deserves all praise for it. God has to give that. For which I am an ambassador in bonds. This word that I speak. I don't tell you what I think. I tell you what the one that sent me speaks. I'm just an ambassador. And I'm in bonds. I'm a bond servant. That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We need to be dressed in the whole armor of God. And the Spirit will do that through the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. How's the Lord going to train up His children? Through the preaching of the Word. So He's going to teach them something. How's He going to save His children? Through the preaching of the Word. How's He going to put a breastplate on you, give you a sword, tighten your shoes up? Through the preaching of the Word. The person and the work of Christ. If we are physically hungry, probably none of us have had some severe hunger pains lately. If you, you miss 5 or 6 meals in a row, you start getting hungry. Do you know what solution there is for that? Eat a meal. Right? I'm hungry. Eat something. It's going to do you good. It'll refresh you. If we're spiritually hungry, well, we're having some heart pains. We don't know when we're hungry spiritually, do we? But when we have some heart pains here and there, what's the solution to that? Eat a meal. Be fed by the Word. Be fed by the Lord. My dear brother said one time, when you need to eat, I mean, you got a need. If everybody starved to death and I was handing out bread, they'd be elbows flying trying to get to it, wouldn't it? If you need to eat spiritually, it may be a bologna sandwich and it may be a filet mignon. But if you need it, it doesn't matter which one it is, does it? And you know what? I'll be honest with you. A bologna sandwich would probably go down a whole lot easier and digest better, wouldn't it? Than a big old steak. Probably what you need, some milk. If we are under the gospel, He will put that girding of Christ, the truth, on us. He'll put on the breastplate of Christ's righteousness, those boots, that gospel, the Prince of Peace, His shield of faith, His faith, and that helmet, that mind of Christ. And He'll give us the ability to pray for our brethren. And He'll give us the ability to hear our brothers that preach to us. Isn't that something? That'll get you through. The Lord does that for us. He'll do that for me. The next time I've got anxiety and I'm depressed, all alone, I'm shooting arrows at myself. Oh, what a good meal would do. Be reminded of what He's did for His people, in and for them. And that it's put on by Him, and it's mine. I want it forever. I pray He'll keep us. All right.